Take our Bibles and we'll be checking together in the Bible from the book of 2 Peter.
Chapter number 1, from verse number 19.
Yes.
The Bible says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your
says,
hearts.
We have, we have, I guess like this, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, you do well. Since we have a word of prophecy, and you do well, the Bible says you do well. You do well what? It says you do well that you take heed, that you pay attention to this word. He says, we have the word of prophecy, and he says that you do well if you pay attention. Did you hear that? So if I'm having somebody here, because you see, we are in the prophetic moment, in the prophetic, you see, the prophetic atmosphere. All right. Now, the Bible here says, it says, we have the word, and this word is not just a normal word. It says it's a word of prophecy. Kaya pasatika. He says, if you pay attention, you do well. Because when you pay attention, when you take heed of this word, the Bible says it is like light shining into the dark place, shining in darkness. It says it's like light shining until dawn, until morning, until, you see, so when it says it's shining until dawn, it means something shines up. The more you pay attention, the more it shines until morning. It says, so if you don't pay attention, or you pause somewhere, the lighting or the shining also at a certain point pauses. So the Bible says, if you pay attention to the prophetic word, it says in this word. Now, let's go verse 20. Let's go verse 20 to explain more. Verse 20, what does it say? Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, before we even go somewhere else, I'd like to share with you that, you see, we have a word of prophecy. You see, I keep on telling people that there is no word that is more powerful, that is more important than the Bible. I've seen so many people say, I wanna hear what God is saying to me. I want to understand what is God is saying to me, okay? I wanna hear God. Somebody said, pray for me. I want my eyes to start seeing. I want to start hearing God. Hear me. I want to promise you one thing. If you can't hear God through this Bible, you will never hear him in any way. If you can't hear God through this word, you can't hear him anyway. If you're looking for prophecy and you can't get it from this book, you can't get prophecy anyway. Because any prophecy we give, there's no prophecy above the scripture. There's no prophecy above the Bible. Every prophecy is born from the word. It's because we read the scriptures. And this is why prophecy can come out. There's no word of prophecy that shall be above the Bible. This is your word of prophecy. Oh, I'm talking to somebody right here. And I want you to understand this information very well. It is very important. That's why no matter how I can prophesy, I will never come and prophesy without opening this book. Because this is the book of prophecy. Now, the Bible says, no scripture, it says, verse 20, knowing this first of all, we know this. It says that no prophecy of the scripture, so that is what is called prophecy of the word, and then there is what is called prophecy of the scripture. Understand that? So you actually see the Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 4, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Read it for me. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, what
Luke
does it say?
Chapter number 4, from verse number 18, the Bible says, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised.
Then he says, continue.
Then verse 19 says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20, and he closed the book.
He closed the book. The book. What book? He was reading Isaiah 61. Now, in Isaiah 61, check Isaiah 61. Verse 1, the Bible says what?
Isaiah 61, verse number 1, King James Version. The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted.
Now, if you see in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is reading, go back to chapter 4. Jesus is reading in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is reading the book of Isaiah. He's giving the Bible to read, and he's reading it. Guess what he says after reading? What does he say at the end when reading, after reading?
After reading, the Bible says, verse number 20, and he closed the book.
And what?
And he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
So Jesus, on this point in time, this scripture of Isaiah 61, it was not yet fulfilled until Jesus came out. And he read the scripture. When he read it, he said, today, the scripture has been fulfilled. The prophecy of the scripture, according to 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 20, it says, knowing this first, no prophecy of the scripture. So there is prophecy of the scripture, which is written in this book, that must happen in your life. Now, I really got people who just wake up in the morning and they say, wow, all right, I want a prophecy. I want a prophecy to be fulfilled in my life. I want prophet to prophesy to me. I want him to speak to me. Hear me very well. First of all, there's so much that God has said unto your life through this word that you know it. It must come to pass. In the prophetic ministry, understand one thing. God speaks through various means. Okay? If one time I'm going to teach you what is called prophetic imagination, where you can enter into the prophetic imagination and begin to imagine prophetically and begin to see things as if you're watching a movie or you're watching something and you imagine in the prophetic imagination, okay? That will be another topic. But hear this. When you read the scripture, when you read here from the book, there are prophecies which are spoken here which you must first of all understand them and get knowledge to what the Bible is saying. Well, I hope you're hearing that. So you must understand and get knowledge to what the scripture, to what the Bible is saying. What is the Bible saying? What is God saying? What is the scripture saying? What is the Bible saying? Well, we're getting there right now. We want to see something right here. And you're sitting down there and you're hearing this message right now. I want to say this to you. There is a word, right? But where was Peter saying? And why was Peter saying this thing? Now we go back, verse 16. It says, for we have not what?
The Bible says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from our God the Father honor and glory.
Yes.
When there came such a voice to him, from the excellent glory.
My God.
This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard. When we were with him in the holy mount, we also
have a more sure word of prophecy. Now understand this. Understand this. And I want you to get this point. Right? So the Bible here says, and I want you to understand this, this revelation. So Peter says, I was there. We were there with him when the voice spoke. Remember, Jesus, there are two times when the voice spoke from heaven. The first time when he was baptized, the Bible said that God said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And there was a moment when Peter was at the mountain with John and James. And when at the mountain, the Bible says, and again a cloud enveloped them. And God said, this is my son, hear him. Did you hear that statement? So there are two things here that I want you to understand. Number one, Peter is quoting what God said about Jesus. So he's saying, we are not just following fables, not just anyhow following, but we heard the word of prophecy. And what was the word of prophecy? That this is my son. God spoke. He spoke in a cloud. He spoke in a cloud that this is my son. Now, when you are saved by God, there is a need for you now to begin to pursue the prophetic. So Peter says, hear me, we don't just follow these things. We must have a word of prophecy. We must have a prophetic word. Then he says, that word we have it. He says, if you pay attention to what we have, the prophetic word we have, he says, you do well. Because it will be like a light is shining where there was darkness. Now, when we prophesy, when I stand here and I'm prophesying, you know what happens? Wherever there was darkness, light begins to shine. Light begins to what? To shine. Now, the Bible says if you pay attention to the prophetic word, then it continues by saying there is also a prophecy of the scripture, which if you pay attention to be hearing also that prophecy, you do well. Because there's no any private interpretation. Oh, you didn't hear this. It says, no, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy, verse 21, came not in ordered time by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So you must understand that this, as you read it, you are reading by the people who were moved by the Holy Spirit. So if you pay attention to scripture, if you pay attention to any prophetic word which a prophet is speaking, or a man of God is speaking, the Bible says you do well, because there's light shining in the dark place, and until dawn comes, until morning. So there might be something. You see, as you just hear, like you're watching me now, whether on internet, whether on any means you're watching me now. But guess what is happening right now? There is a light that is shining in every way. There is a light that is shining. There is a light that is shining. When God called us, when God called you, he called us to live a prophetic life. Not just to get a prophecy. You see, when you're in a prophetic ministry, it's not enough to get a prophecy. What is enough is to begin to live the prophetic life now. There's a difference between the prophetic ministry and the prophetic life. I will show you something in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, we're going to go there from verse 1. We're going to find a story of King David in Ziklag. All right, just read for me. Verse 1.
1 Samuel chapter number 30 from verse number 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south.
Sharakia.
And Ziklag had smitten Ziklag and burnt it with fire, and had taken the women captive, and they were in. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. Verse number 3, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept, until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. The Bible says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
Now, I just want to hear this. Okay, so somebody here is watching me, or whether you're home, or you are in your car, and you're hearing this message, or you're sitting down in your living room, and I want to get this message to you, right? The Bible here says, and I like what the Bible here says, David was, you see, he was from Judah. There was Israel, and then there was Judah. There were two kingdoms. before it became one country called Israel. There was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom, and the southern kingdom was called Judah, and the northern kingdom was called Israel. Did you hear that? So, in these two kingdoms, David, he was coming from Judah. We all know that he's from Bethlehem. So, David, he is now a king. But he makes a big mistake by giving a land from the king of Gath. He gives him a land, and the land that he gives him is called Ziklag. Ziklag. Ziklag is a land that was given by the king of Gath. Now he gives him the land, and David takes over the land of Gath. You remember what is Gath? Goliath was coming from the land of Gath. He was a Philistine. All right? So Goliath was coming from Gath. And the king of Gath gives David a portion of land. And David thinks of changing that land into a camp, a strategic camp to be using to attack the enemy. Did you hear that? So Ziklag was used as a place of warfare. Ziklag was a place when David wants to attack anywhere, Amalekites, Ammonites, anyone else. David would use Ziklag as a land of strategic warfare. But he makes a mistake this day. This day he walks out of Ziklag for 3 days. When he walks out, he walks with his fight men, or with his fighters, which were 600 in number. Now, he goes out, and when he comes back 3 days later, he finds the whole land has been captured. There is a fire burning in every house. He finds out what's going on. They said everyone in this city, everyone in Ziklag has been captured. Why? Because David had left a place of warfare. I want to say this first before I even continue with the sharing of the message. You see, there are people right now who their things are being captured. Because there are moments when you leave the place of your spiritual warfare. It is very dangerous to leave because Ziklag is a place of warfare. David left the place of warfare, not for 1 year, not for 2 years, only 3 days. 3 days were enough for everything to be captured. The Bible says there was great plunder, that everything in Ziklag was captured. Even the wives of David, they were all captured. Not only that, all the kids, all the children, the wives, and everyone else was captured. So the Bible says, and when David came into the city, he saw that everyone has been captured. Fire was burning in the whole city, and everybody has been taken. But the enemy did not kill any one of them. I would believe that those enemies wanted to take these people captives and let us sell them as slaves. Now, when he captured everyone, when he captured everything, when the enemy captured everyone else and took them to a place called the camp of the Amalekites, the Ammonites, when they took them to their camp, I want you to understand one thing here before we continue reading the scripture. When David came in the town, in the camp of warfare, when he saw that everybody has been captured, the Bible says that the people, his own soldiers, who he had walked out with, they said, King, we have no choice, but we're going to kill you. We're going to kill you. We're going to stone you. You see, these people were going through, you see, the men in the Old Testament were going through big things. Not now. I keep on telling people this. You see, I have not reached a level where my members took stones and they said, we want to stone you. This is David. This is King David. He went through those moments when his own people said, since my kids are captured, since my family is captured, I am your fighter, but today I will stone you to death. These are the things that David was going through. You see, you think just because you didn't pay rent, just because something just happened, you feel like God has abandoned you, and you feel like the whole world is turning around you, like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. I'm confused. I don't know where to go now. It's like nothing's moving in our house. Everyone is not employed. No, there's no money on the table. I'm talking of King David. This is King David. The Bible actually says that, oh my goodness, I want you to hear this. This is King David. The Bible says that his two wives were captured, all his children captured, the whole country, the whole camp, everyone captured, his own soldiers who stoned him. You have never reached that level. I know you have got a problem, but you have never reached a level which David reached, where the Bible says they began to cry until they had no strength to cry anymore. They had no any strength to cry anymore. Why? Because it was a distressful moment. But then the Bible says what? Read this, the following scripture. And then the Bible says what?
Verse number 7. The Bible says, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son,
Verse number 6.
And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Can you imagine? David had no one to preach to him. David had no any man of God to preach to him. But he encouraged himself. You have got someone right now preaching to you, encouraging you, speaking to you. I'm talking of David, that he had no one to encourage him. The Bible says he encouraged himself. Remember, he never asked questions to God, that God, why these things are happening to me? Why? How did this thing happen to me? But the Bible says he encouraged himself. I want someone right now, if you're passing through something, as I was sharing yesterday to you, that we have the Holy Spirit. We don't have to cower. We don't have to relax and think like, oh, now I don't know why things are going that way. Stand up. Encourage yourself. The Bible says, and David encouraged himself. Remember what I'm preaching to you, what I'm sharing with you. We have a word of prophecy. If you pay attention to who you are, you do well. If you pay attention to what I'm speaking, you do well. So the Bible says, and he encouraged himself. He said, no way. I refuse to sit here and see my soldiers crying and me also crying. I refuse. So the Bible says he encouraged himself. Did you hear that? He encouraged himself. What does he do? What does he do? Verse 7.
Verse 7, the Bible.
All right, read it.
The Bible says, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee.
Wait, he said to who?
Ahimelech's son.
Who was Ahimelech? The priest.
Abiathar.
The man of God. A man of God. What did he say to him?
The Bible says,
after he cried, after he encouraged himself, he said to a man of God, he said to Ahimelech, what did he say to him?
He said, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired to the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them. Without fail, recover all.
Verse number 9.